AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three. So you guys know what that means. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at VDentric on the Twitter. Bubba, what is going on, my friend?
Not much, Bogman. We're a little over a week for the baseball season. It's awesome. We're going to talk about a lot of the craziness that's already taken place. But it's good to have baseball back in our lives. You know, football, the draft's coming up and all that good stuff. The Niners are going to blow things. It's going to be great. But we have baseball coming up, and I'm really looking forward to the next, you know, 5.5 months. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we talked some football earlier. I'm bookending here. I started with baseball with Pizapia. We talked about some football. Did all football with our boy John Lobb an hour or two, and you're back to talk some baseball.
You mean I got to follow that energy? Oh man, yeah.
Good luck.
I apologize.
For a lot of times when we record this, this is a little late to post for our patrons on Patreon, but we post this in the captain's room, the hour one and hour two, and. Someone was like, "Hey, Lob, I can't hear you. Can you turn your mic up?" Sarcastically, and Lob loved that. He thought that was hilarious.
Lob is literally the best, one of the best human beings I have ever had the pleasure of chatting with. And obviously, you do a ton of work with him, but literally the nicest guy I think I've ever met doing this. He's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some people that that you meet and you get disappointed by, and John is absolutely not one of those people.
Not at all.
He brings the absolute energy to everything he does. And I knew, like, I wrote out like 15 questions for him last night. And, you know, I had a lot to do last night. So it was like the end of the night and I was getting real tired. And I'm like, why am I writing out all these questions for? I'm going to get to 5 of these. And I think we got to 7 of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
That's a good day,
right? Yeah, that's John. It's like, having our buddy Spore on. He's like that, too. Gosh. I remember one time I did 10 questions. I'm like, yeah, I got 10 questions for you. We got to 6. And I was like, man, we're out of time, bro. Like, you know, that's but I'd rather dive in on the questions 100%. Than go over a million things real quick. I like lightning round sometimes because I like to hit a bunch of subjects if we can. But I also like. Diving in on something, but we're going to dive in on some baseball when we come back after this. We're going to talk about the injury craziness that's happening all the time. I know it's recency bias, but we're still going to talk about it. And then I've got some early season player debates for Bubba. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league, on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. It is actually hour three this time with Casey Bubba at BD Entrick. I said hour three again with Pizapia on because I'm so used to the, I mean, you're not really a guest at this point. You've done hour three for like a year. So, but I'm used to the non-Welsh hour being hour three. So I did that with, Pizapia as well, but we are actually in hour three. We're going to talk some baseball here. The injuries have kind of taken us over. And I talked about this with Steve Gardner on the ITL Fantasy Baseball Pod, Bub, about Fernando Tatis getting hurt and it potentially impacting his future value as well, because he's played in the league for 3 years. He's been injured 3 years twice. Well, we assume this is going to be major. They said they're going to reevaluate him in 10 days. He's going to be reevaluated. He's going to need to miss some time. You know, subluxation means a tear somewhere, and a tear ain't good. So, my guess was maybe right before the All-Star game or right after the All-Star game, somewhere in that neighborhood is when he'll come back. We'll see if it takes that long. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's like a 6-week injury and then he's back after that. But it's another big chunk of time that he's going to miss. He's missed big chunks of time before. He's obviously upper echelon value, top five. Steve said he doesn't think he's going to move out of that top five for next year. What say you? Do you think his dynasty value and his redraft drops after this injury?
I think you have to make a serious conversation about it. And to be fair for the listeners, on my rankings, basically the last 2 years for sure, if not three, but Tatis probably wasn't there 3 years ago. The last 2 years and this year, I had Trey Turner ahead of Fernando Tatis Jr. And people thought I was insane for that. I get it. I couldn't disapprove of their comment, but I've just always been a Trey Turner guy, and I believe the power is there. So I still think Tatis is outside the top five. I think it's a great question because the back injury kind of concerned me going into this year to begin with. He's young. He shouldn't be having back issues. And now the shoulder deal, you know, he hurt it in spring training. And then
they said that he had been dealing with it for a while.
Yeah, and you don't deal with a tear. It just gets worse. Like, until you have surgery on it, it just continues to get worse. And everybody that throws a baseball slowly is tearing their shoulder, just to what extent. And the way he swings a baseball bat, the violent nature of that is just ridiculous. I was watching it live when it happened, and I thought a hamate injury because I've seen like Pablo when guys do it and the way he dropped the bat. But then they showed the slow motion angle. My stomach hurt. Like, it was nasty. And I felt horrible for the kid because I've said the most important thing, fantasy, not important here. He's great for the game of baseball. Like, tune into the Padres to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. play baseball. And that sucks. But if you're the Padres, I laugh at the 10-day thing. He needs to have surgery. He needs to fully repair it. You just gave him like $350 million. If he doesn't even play this season, you don't worry about it. You want him to be back to 100% or as close to it as possible before you put him on that field, however long that takes. But I think it's a couple months. I think All-Star breaks by the earliest.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I hope not. I hope he's back in 10 days.
But I think he'll do more damage if he does it. That's the problem.
Right. I don't expect it to be. I expect him to miss a big chunk of time, which now, you know, I was kind of at the beginning of the season, I was kind of mad. You know, just doing my rankings before the season started, I was low on Cronenworth. I was high on Kim because I thought, okay, here comes Kim. Now they don't really have a spot for Cronenworth. Well, we find out in spring training that Kim is not earning his spot, and that Cronenworth was crushing spring and continues to crush the baseball right now. Awesome. So Cronenworth's locked in. So then I get mad that, okay, well, why'd they spend the money on Kim if they're not going to be able to play him? Well, they try to move him to the outfield, but they got a lot of outfielders too. You know, they have guys that are really good on their bench, you know, like the Mets with VR, they have Mateo and Profar kind of switching off on the bench as well. So they have a boatload of talent on this squad. So I thought Kim was kind of a wasted signing. Now that Fernando Tatis is going to miss what seems to be an extended period of time, we're going to get a long look at Kim. So have you picked him up in any leagues? Have you been spending fab dollars on him? I know he's kind of cheap in DFS, and we've been talking about that on our Line Star show pretty much every single night. But what are you doing with Kim moving forward? Does he have to earn it, or are you swooping him up anywhere?
I'm probably, unless I get him really cheap, like I always talk about doing the keep it honest bid. You can do that. I'm not going to go spend a lot of money on him. I watched him in spring. I've watched him early on here. Like the KBO talent's legit, but there's always a transition period to the bigs, and he looks lost at times at the plate. Like he looks like he's overwhelmed. The talent's
there.
That's
a lot going on. It's a new language. It's a new
country. New food, everything. Yeah. It's like, it's a whole different game. So I'm not holding anything against him. Right. I think the talent's great. I'm actually kind of happy he's going to get an extended look. I think playing him off and on off the bench is the worst thing for him. So it's one of those, like, if you have room on your bench and he's cheap, sure. I'm not making it a point to go get him. I go elsewhere.
And I know it's recency bias, right? But I just want to go over some of these major injuries. And I'm sure there's ones I'm leaving out here. But here's the guys that we're already missing. Judge had an oblique. He's going to miss some time. Marte went on the DL. IL today. Zach Gallen missed the beginning of the year. Springer hasn't played yet. Betts and Bellinger both missed games with little weird things. I think it was a knee for Bellinger. Betts with a back. Trevor Rosenthal has thoracic outlet syndrome. Eloy Jimenez, of course, tore up his shoulder or his pec. Alberto Mondesi has missed time. Key Brian Hayes hurt his wrist. I know it's recency bias, so I don't need to. You don't need to hit me up on Twitter and say, well, this, and this happened last year. But is there a way that do we just expand IL spots? Do we make more pickups available? Do we expand roster spots for more replacements? Like, how do we baseball is starting to feel like football with the injuries piling up here. And I hate it. I don't like that, but it's just kind of the way it's going here. Is there a good solution or anything for this issue, Bub?
The answer is no. But the one I like to do is people like to add more bench spots or more IL spots. If you want to add IL, I'm fine with that because at least when the guy comes off the IL, you have to drop somebody. Right. I don't like more bench spots because you're just like, there's no one on the waiver wire.
Right.
Once you do things. So then you're back to the point, I lost a guy, what do I do? So you're screwed. I almost think the idea of maybe shrinking the bench is more appealing. So at least there's like somewhat replaceable value on the waiver wire.
Okay.
So you're still competitive. I know that stinks if you're in a daily league, it's horrible, but weekly isn't a little, like, it just depends on your format, I guess. But I think the idea of maybe shrinking the bench, you can expand the IL if you want. So like I said, you have to drop those guys and it goes back to the wire. But having at least talent on the wire is important.
And in my home league, you know, I make a limit for pickups per week because I don't want people just out there adding, dropping pitchers all day. So, you know, you can lose ERA and whip every single week, but you're going to win wins and strikeouts. That's it's the trade-off that you do. But and sometimes you can have enough starters to where, you know, if they're all fairly decent or one guy gets blown up for the other person last day of the week or something, you can win all four of those categories if you're adding and dropping and adding and dropping. So I limit it, but it sucks for a week like this. And I had a guy on Twitter, I retweeted him. He said, "Hey Yahoo, why can't we have time and a half pickups for week one when it's extended like this?" And it makes sense. That is an issue. Especially first of the year when, if you have IL spots, I don't like to go into the year with a guy on the IL, but if you're in a keeper league and you have Eloy, you're not dropping him. You got to keep him and stash him. If you don't have any IL spots, you don't drop Eloy. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'd have to be in like a 8-man league where, everybody keeps two or something. Yeah, that's where you drop Eloy. But that is the only spot. So I don't know, man. Luckily for us, injuries open up spots for a guy like Yermin Mercedes, a guy like that has been incredible. And, Akil Badu has gotten some playing time. Like there's a lot of these younger guys that are coming up and getting a long look that are really, really strong. Who do you like out of that group so far?
Mercedes is pretty darn awesome. It's hard not to enjoy him. He hit an absolute bomb on Thursday. The farthest one in StatCast era for the White Sox. So that's pretty impressive. Badu keeps doing it. I'm just curious how long they're going to do it before, but I'm going to go Mercedes for now. At least he's always hitting the minors. Badu, literally, he's a Rule 5 guy that's hasn't been past high A, so I'm still curious. Right.
All right. Well, when we come back, I got some player debates for Bub. I try to make them somewhat reasonable, you know, because no one's going to believe anything 7 days into the season as far as where we're recording this. But I got some good ones. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league, on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out the Patreon at patreon.com/IPOArmy. We got all kinds of goodies for you there. We got GroupMe rooms. We've got live chats. We've got rankings. We've got all kinds of stuff. You know, the draft is coming up, Bub. It's getting here, and I'm going to be doing a live stream all 3 days for the NFL draft. I hamstrung John Lobb into being on that show by asking him on the air if he would do it. So, you know, it's the smart way to go about things. If you want people to be on your show, you got to ask them on the show. It's smart. So, you know, this meme right here. So, but that's going to be a lot of fun. So all kinds of stuff over there. If you guys would go and check it out, patreon.com/ITLArmy. That would be awesome. Now, I got some player debates for you, and I didn't do pitchers because we don't have, you know, not every pitcher has had two starts yet. You know, some of them have, some of them look shaky, some of them look good, you know, some of them look shaky and good. I think it's too early. I think you need 5 starts in the season to start really, really settling on what this pitcher is going to be doing in a year. So they're too fluky, but I think with some hitters, especially some lower down on the rankings, you can start looking at them. So this one is league specific. We had it on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast when we had Sleeper in the Bus on, Justin Mason and Paul Spohr, some of our best friends in the industry, of course. And, you know, we all kind of trolled Spohr because we were talking about how Isaiah Kiner-Falefa qualifies a catcher in Yahoo because they're using 2019 qualifications. They just acted like 2020 didn't happen, like we all wish we could, but it did happen. So unfortunately for everybody, but Spohr now, you know, he went in on Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and then he texted the Welsh and I after because someone wrote on Fangraphs wrote an article about you know, shortstop defense in the American League and put the Rangers at dead last. IKF is the starter. Of course, it's shortstop. But that was our argument in this, is that he is starting every day at a different position. You can play him at catcher in your league, and you can get every day at bats from a catcher. His argument was, what are those getting you? What are those everyday starts getting you? The guy doesn't hit for a ton of power. He steals bases, but not a ton. He has stolen a couple already this year, I think, or at least one.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah, so he hasn't been terrible, and he's playing every day. Currently, as it sits, just looking up his stats, he has played in 6 games. He's hitting .280. He's got a homer and a swipe, 6 runs, 3 RBIs. He's hitting leadoff for those Rangers. So I want to pit him against a guy that was really, really good last year in Travis d'Arnaud. Finishes a top 5 catcher, I think a top 3 catcher. In his 44 games, he hit .321 with 9 homers, stole a base, 52 runs, 34 driven in, 19 runs, 34 driven in. So he had a great year last year, and he was being drafted way before IKF. Like I said, once again, Yahoo specific at the catcher position. But who would you rather have rest of the season from this point on? IKF playing shortstop, hitting at the top of the lineup, Travis d'Arnaud hitting for a much better average. We assume this year, not hitting it as well. Only 6 games still on, you know, just looking at his stats. He does have a homer, but only hitting .200. Who are you going with, Bob?
I'm going with Travis. I like IKF. I get the argument for everyday at bats. There's 2 things. Travis is off to a slow start, but you look at all his barrel rate's still 15.5%. His hard hit rate's almost 62%. He's hitting the ball hard everywhere, and he's got one hit and all but one start this year. So it's not like he's completely pooping the bed. He's just striking out a lot, which is not good. But I'll go to d'Arnaud. The biggest difference is he's going to give you probably 20 to 25 home runs. He's not going to hit that high of an average because he had a 411 BABIP last year, so that's fine. But this is the catcher's position we're talking about here. He's on an explosive Atlanta Braves offense. He's going to score a lot of runs, sit in the middle of that offense. I'll take those kind of power numbers because IKF, what's he going to get you? Maybe 12 home runs, 15 stolen bases. That's cool and all, but that's not what I need. It's cool from a catcher, I guess, because Yahoo's crazy. But give me Darnold and the upside of the power upside and the counting stats in that regard. I'll get stolen bases somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Darnold too. You know, I mean, I'm with you on this. Look, I like IKF. Right. I think there's a lot more. I thought it was a little goofy that everyone was kind of clamoring over him in the beginning of the offseason, you know, especially when Yahoo announced that they were going to do the, you know, do the 2019 stuff. Like, I mean, look, let's just go back to 2017 so I can get Kyle Schwarber in there at catcher. That's what I want. So, you know, that's what I would really like, but we're never going to get that. But now I just want Kyle Schwarber to come off of the COVID list. Okay. You know what I mean?
That'd be real nice. Yep.
If I can just get that, that's what I really want here. But let's go to the next one here. Nate Lowe versus Miguel Sano. And Nate Lowe off to a hot start. Had, you know, he had some, what am I trying to say here? A little bit of buzz when he got traded to Texas. Mm-hmm. Then he got outplayed in spring training by Ronald Guzman. And everyone thought Ronald Guzman is going to get this job. They wound up playing them both, but Nate Lowe is on an absolute tear to begin the year, hitting .320. He's got three homers already, 14 RBI. He added a swipe. Miguel Sano, he's got the power in the bat. We all know that, but slow start, hitting .087, only the one homer. So rest of the season. And are you a Sano guy? I can't remember.
I love Sano and his power upside, but I'm also a realist that he's going to get injured. He doesn't play more than 100, 120 games a year if you're lucky. He strikes out a ton, so you're not getting him for batting average. I love Nate Lowe. I've talked about him a lot. He is free, if you want to go that angle. He's out of the Rays chokehold there. He's going to hit for like a 270 to 280 average. He's going to chip in some stolen bases. The power is legit. They're starting him. He's batting fourth or fifth every game. He's starting even against lefties. I love everything about Nate Lowe. A little regression from the start's going to happen, obviously, but it's not too much. He's really a good hitter, and he's finally getting to play every day. It's amazing what happens to a young kid when he gets to play every day. So I like Nate Lowe in this situation here. Sano's fun. Sano's great. If Sano could prove he could stay healthy and maybe hit 260, I'd be in. But he's not going to do any of that. So give me Nate Lowe.
Yeah, and I was a big buyer on Sano too. But this is to be expected with guys that strike out at the clip that he does. Is he's going to have ups. He's going to have downs. I mean, remember a couple years ago, we saw Paul Goldschmidt just be cold for the first 2 months of the season. He got into people, do I drop Paul Goldschmidt? He was getting to that range. So you do have to have patience with a guy like Sano. So I agree with that. This one's tougher for me. I think because I'm so invested and I do have shares, I'm going to stick right now with Sano because I think we could easily see this flip in a week or two, you know, where Sano starts to get a little hot, starts hitting some bombs. Nate Lowe maybe sees the pine a couple more times. Maybe he starts to struggle. So I'm going to go with Sano, but this one is, you know, the graphs are close to intersecting early in the season for me. And I was not in on Nate Lowe, especially with Ronald Guzman hitting better than him to start the year. Let's get one more before the break here. And this one's one of my favorites because I, you know, we didn't really expect a guy from the Reds and Jonathan India to start the season with the big league club, but they've kind of gone all in, right? And, you know, he's been pretty strong so far too, versus a guy that, you know, he hit a home run today and there's a lot of controversy surrounding him after the way the Mets walked off today against the Marlins. But he's sticking his arm out, you know, just stepping into one a la Roger Dorn on Roger Dorn night. Jeff McNeil hit a bomb today, but India's been pretty strong. He's got a big pedigree, high pick, you know, hitting .476 over the first six games with 10 RBIs and four runs. No homers yet, no swipes yet, but a .480 OBP. Obviously, we know that's not going to start. That's not going to stand. You know, Jeff McNeil's homer was his first hit of the year. Only played in three games, you know, but the dude's a career .316 hitter. So we knew he was going to come around. Just a little bit of a slow start. So what do you think on McNeil versus India? Is this even close?
It's technically close because there's a lot of people that like Jeff McNeil. I'm not one of them. When he hit all those home runs a couple years ago, he sold out his average. When he doesn't hit home runs, he has a high average. So pick a lane, basically, Jeff McNeil. And right now he doesn't have an average, got a home run. So I guess he picked a lane. But I'll go Jonathan India on this one. I'm a big fan of his. I picked him late in drafts when the rumor started buzzing that he get to start with the team. I picked him up in leagues that we drafted before the rumor picked up. I liked him for his batting average upside. He's hitting like sixth and seventh in that lineup. He's driving in everybody that gets on base in front of him. The power hasn't shown up yet, but it's going to, especially in that ballpark when it heats up in the summertime. I love Jonathan India. I love that Reds offense. They're a fun team, and they're going to be very competitive this year. So give me Jonathan India. I know most people take Jeff McNeil because they love Jeff McNeil. I'm not one of them, though. So give me Jonathan India.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to be one of those people, but I don't feel like I love McNeil because I don't have him in many spots.
Well, the price is always so high for him because, oh, he has multi-position, but he's batting seventh right now. Like, they're not even putting him at the top of the order.
Yeah, that's true. And India is at 6 or 7, too, so they're both lower in the order. Yeah. I just think that with McNeil's track record, and like I said before, the dude is a career 316 hitter, right? We know he's going to get going. He's only played in 3 games because the Mets got, canceled with the Nats' COVID issues to start the year. So he was off to a slow start. Big day today. Hit a bomb as we're recording this. Hit a bomb. Stepped into one. Got a walk-off win. By the way, maybe I'm behind on these things, Bubba. But what I have noticed is when a team tweets out about their loss, the fans from the winning team then go troll that Twitter account for, like, I mean, it's like 50 tweets. Is this something I've been missing out on by not paying enough attention to Twitter over the years, or is this something that is relatively new?
It's a little more new, but it's also New York. So
I'm not even talking about New York. And I apologize to our audience, but San Diego was pretty. They were not staying classy when they were beating up on the Diamondbacks. Not most of the fans, of course. Not you listening to this. You're the smart fans. But there were a lot of people trolling the Diamondbacks Twitter account. I know they don't like Bob Brenly anyway, but I didn't know this was going on. So
you never know in this world.
Yeah, in this world. Yeah, I mean, way worse stuff is going on Twitter than that. But that's what I've been noticing. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this to do more player debates with Bubba in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by the one and only KC Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter machine. If you guys would, please check out our new show, DFS Show, on Line Star. It's the On Deck DFS podcast brought to you by Line Star. If you guys could check that out, we're on the YouTubes on Line Star. We are also on any of your podcast apps as well. We're doing that Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and it is so much fun.
All the fun.
It's a little bit quicker than this one, too. It's about a half hour every single day in that neighborhood, 25 to half hour-ish, somewhere, depending on how big the slate is. But we go over and we have a lot of fun doing it. Hey-o. But we are doing some player debates here, rest of season on some hot start guys versus some slow start guys. And the next one I have up for you, Bub, here is a third base one between Ryan McMahon, who hit 3 home runs against my Diamondbacks the other night. I was not a fan of that. A lot of my guys had him on the bench too, which is just a brutal happening whenever a guy hits 3 home runs to have him on your bench. I know one of my best friends had, and I don't know if you'll remember this night. I'm sure you will, but do you remember the night that Josh Hamilton hit 4 bombs?
Yes.
Okay. So my buddy had Josh Hamilton. He had a friend of his at work helping set his lineup because he really bad about setting his lineup. So, you know, I mean, sometimes people don't set their lineup. It's not that big a deal to me.
Sometimes money leagues are more important. It happens.
It happens. There's way more. There's other things that are way more important than setting your lineup, but sometimes it happens. This was early in the season. So his buddy said, hey, I can't set the lineup tonight because I'm going to a wedding. I'm going to be on a plane. Do you think you can set it for tomorrow? My friendo says, absolutely, I can. I'll get it done. He doesn't get it done. Guess who's on the bench? Josh Hamilton and his four homers on the bench. His friend says, I give up. You're not worth helping. I'm not going to do it anymore. So now basically it's turned into me pestering my buddy and texting him when he does not set his lineup in my life.
Well, hopefully your buddy went to a wedding and went all full Josh Hamilton at the wedding. So that's good.
Yeah. Four long bombs. That's right. Yes. Exactly. But you know, sometimes this happens, but Ryan McMahon the other night did hit three homers, having a great white hot start to the year, hitting 381 with three homers, the night. He has four total, six runs total. So he's not getting driven in, seven total RBIs, but he's off to a nice white hot start. Gio Urshela, on the other hand, not starting out so hot. He's okay. He's hitting 261 in his six games, but only three runs and one RBI, no power yet. I was actually kind of low, man. You know, I wasn't able to submit my rankings in time to Fantasy Pros this year. So I guess I'm just going to have to wait till the next year comes around. You know what I mean? I'll get my stuff done for football on Fantasy Pros. But for right now, I would have been low, man, on Gio Urshela. I had him like at 187. I think his lowest besides me would have been 186. He's a very good player. I was never going to draft him where he was getting taken closer in the 140s and the 150s because I usually had my third base filled out by then, or I like the guys after him that are a little bit deeper, like Ryan McMahon. So I ask you, submit to you this, Bubba. I know the lineup is better in New York, but Colorado is Colorado, and you're going to have nights where a guy goes off like this. Who are you taking for the rest of the year between Gio Urshela and Ryan McMahon?
I will say that I am a Gio Urshela fan. I think he's great for batting average. So I was looking at him in drafts. I really was. But you're not going to get a ton of power. The Yankees lineup's great, all that good stuff. The biggest question with Ryan McMahon, because I've rostered him in previous years, is he going to play? Because the Rockies going to Rockies. Looks like he's going to play right now. And the fact he's playing right now every day, give me Ryan McMahon. I'll take that all day long. His talent, his power, his upside. I think he even can steal a couple bags for you. I love everything about Ryan McMahon. Obviously, he's not going to hit 381 with a two. It's crazy, 381 with a 286 BABIP. So maybe he hits 330 at that pace. But I love Ryan McMahon. I'll take that all day long. Gio Urshela, good ball player. No Ryan McMahon. Give me Coors Field all day.
I love it. I love it. And that's, you know, Ryan McMahon plays multiple positions too, all over the field, and qualifies at a bunch of them too. It's not just a Yahoo thing. So I love this debate, and I'm with you. I think I'm going Ryan McMahon over Gio Urshela. Like I said, I think the floor is obviously higher for Gio, right? It comes with the batting average, but the ceiling is so much higher. And if you're taking a guy at that spot anyway, I mean, it does depend on what you had already done with your team, but I'm going to take the upside 10 times out of 10. Let's go over to let's go over to the next one. Let's go to the middle infield here. Donovan Solano is hitting .300 for your Giants right now, Bub, versus Jorge Polanco. What do you think about this one? I like this one. I think Solano is completely underrated, but Polanco's been pretty nice as well. Who are you going with here?
Yeah, it says a lot that Solano's batting third for the Giants. That's the nicest way I'll say it. So I like Solano a lot, but he should be a table setter, not a guy driving runs in. He's going to hit you close to 300, which is good. He is underrated, like you said. There's questions about playing time coming into the year. That seems to be answered. So that's good, but I'll still take Jorge Polanco. On a better team than the Twins, he's hit anywhere from first to fourth. He led off on Thursday. He hit fourth on Wednesday. He's got probably more pop than Solano. Going to steal some more bags than Solano. So you're going to sacrifice a little batting average, but he's going to help you in the four other categories where Solano might be even, maybe slightly better in like RBIs. But overall, give me a Jorge Polanco on this one, especially if you have Fernando Tatis Jr.
Ah, man. I think I'm going to take Donovan Solano.
That's right. San Francisco Giants, baby.
I like Jorge Polanco, And I do like that they're moving him around at the top of the batting order, right? I do really like that. But I don't know, man. The guy is average only. He's average only. And maybe he'll steal some bases, but I just think I like Solano entrenched at the number three spot and off to a hot start right now. Now, him hitting .409 over his first five games amounts to, four runs and three RBI and one swipe. But the swipe is encouraging, right? He's never been a crazy steal guy. I think his highest is 7 in a year. What's his highest? I just want to look in the minors. Has he ever been
for Solano or Polanco?
Solano. He's never had
a big stolen base guy.
No. Yeah. So, but you know, look, Giants got to manufacture runs. Twins don't. Yeah. Twins are going to get, I mean,
not when the Giants are getting home runs everywhere. You don't have to manufacture anything.
Yeah. Okay. But I would argue that more for the Twins realistically, yes. Because, you know, I think Donaldson will come back at some point this year. Right. Right. Yeah. He has to.
Yeah. For a couple games before it happens all over again. Trust me, it kills me because I have him rostered in a couple spots. So
yeah. But I think I like Solano hitting in the middle of that order. The order is not as Solano. Good.
I'm a big fan of it, but let me ask you this one just for fun. It's not even on the sheet, but it's guys we talked about. Solano or Urshela? Very similar players.
I think I'm going to go Gio in that one. Yeah. I'm going to go Gio in that one just because the lineup is so much better. It doesn't matter where he hits in the Yankees.
I agree.
I like the Yankees lineup. So, Ryan McMahon has Coors. So, I'm with you on that. But that's a good one, too. You know, that's a good one because these guys can play. These are both guys who play multiple positions.
And you're basically taking them for average for the most part. Whatever else he gets, pretty gravy.
Exactly. Let's go to the outfield here, Bub. And I got the first one between Mr. Smiley himself. Ian Happ, just kidding. I think maybe there are like two pictures of him smiling. He's like Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like you can never catch him smiling, right? Versus Akil Badu, who is off to a hot start right now. He is a Rule 5 pick, but he's hitting .455 in the four games he's played. He hit a grand slam the other day. He's got two homers. Ian Happ also had a homer the other night. But he's hitting .125, three runs. The only RBI driven in was himself on that homer. So who do you like in the battle of these two outfielders?
This one's tough because Badu is like the cool name. He's hitting well. Rule 5 pick, so he has to stay on the roster or they lose him. Doesn't mean they have to play him, though. Let's keep that in mind. I'm still going with Ian Happ. We've seen the pedigree there. He's leading off for the Cubs. He's walking 22% of the time. He's always been a big OBP guy, setting the table there. His offense will be better. They woke up a little bit in Pittsburgh on Thursday. They just had a rough stretch there where they all kind of slumped. I think Ian Happ this one. He's still going to put up 20-plus homers. He's going to steal a few bags, hit for a better average, score. He could score like 90-plus runs. So give me Ian Happ this one.
And by the way, there are plenty of hitters that are off to terrible 100 starts, barely have two hits, you know, all that kind of stuff. But those upper tier guys, you're never going to compare. You're never going to drop. I feel like this is the closest one that I have on this list to that. Maybe you could say Urshela versus McMahon is also like that, but I think McMahon has crazy upside. I'm going with Ian Happ in this one too. I'm too invested in Ian Happ to think that Akil Badu is going to burn him after a week. I can't do it. This one I did just to get at your heartstrings.
Bubba. Yeah, you got both my guys.
Yeah, it's Joey Gallo, who, you know, just looking over preseason ranks and everything, was lower than Mike Yastrzemski. Mike Yastrzemski off to a little bit of a slow start here, hitting .136. He's got a bomb and a swipe already, but only two runs, and that one RBI that he has was off of his homer. Joey Gallo hitting .300 right now. We all think that's going to stay, right?
Naturally.
He's a career .210 hitter, so we know that ain't going to stay. But he's got a bomb and a swipe as well, four runs, four RBIs, OBP of .481 right now. His strikeout rate, what is it?
Only
22%. He's a career 37.4% strikeout rate.
No regression coming.
Yeah. Absolutely not going to end this way. But what do you think of this one? Because these guys were closer, but I think Gallo is about 50 spots lower than Yastrzemski on overall ranks, not among outfielders or anything.
Yeah, Gallo was much lower for the people that were scared of 2020, not doing the research that showed he was injured. We've talked about it many times, either on this show, the Lions Store Show, something. I'm a believer in Gallo. Yastrzemski, he's good. I love what he's done. I think he's overachieved a little bit. He's already hurt. Give me Joey Gallo on this one. The walks are legit. His at-bats have been great. He's not going to hit 300. I get it. But I could see him hitting 250. He's done it before. Strikeouts go up to like 28%. He still walks like 15 to 20% of the time. I really, really like Joey Gallo. I think he's hit 40-plus home runs. So I'll take Gallo over Yaz in this one.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, this one, I'm almost always going to go with the power upside over the average upside, because power gets you three categories. It gets you runs, it gets you homers, it gets you RBI. You know, it also might sink you in average, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sinking one to get the three. So I'm almost always going to go with homers over average. Now, if you want to add a guy like Yastrzemski to a power outlet team, do that. But I stand by the power. I need the power. The last one here, Cedric Mullins, who's off to a white hot start with Baltimore Orioles, versus Gregory Polanco, who I picked because I know he's a guy that you kind of like. I know you're not in love with him. I don't know how many shares you have of Polanco, but I think a lot of people are with you in this. Let's just see if this guy can put it all together one more time. So we are... never mind. We got 30 more seconds. I thought we were going way over here, but I read my clock wrong. But we got 30 seconds on this one. Who are you taking between Mullins and Polanco?
As much as I want Polanco to be good, I really do. There's still so many question marks. Give me Cedric Mullins. He's leading off. The Orioles like him. They want to use him. Big time steals upside in an actually good fantasy offense.
Yeah, and if you can't hit in this Pirates lineup, you know, you're not going to get traded to a different team. So sorry, Polanco, you're going to get stuck. I'm with Mullins too. When we come back, we're going to end out the 3-hour tour. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, ending this on time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. I'd like to thank all the guests. Joe Pizzapia. Follow him at Joe Pizzapia 17. I think it was his email address. It's completely different. I just did. I call that in Welsh.
Do that out too.
Welsh does that to me about my email address because it's not the same as my Twitter handle. John Lobb, of course, bringing the energy, like Bubba said before, at GridironSkull91. And of course, Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter. And you can follow me at Bogman Sports. You can follow the Welsh at Is It the Welsh? So I had a plan for this, but you had a question for me here. So I like it. What do we got, Bob?
Yeah. So I was approached on Twitter with a question from a follower, and I'm always willing to answer questions if you throw them out there. And it was one of those, does he cut bait because there's a slow start and take the hot hand, or do you wait a little longer?
This is a drop pickup, or is this
a trade? Okay. Would you trade, if you had Keston Hira, would you trade him for Ty France?
Oh, God.
Like, do you give up on Keston Hira and think he never brings it back and ride the hot Ty France? Mm. It was a tough one. That's why I wanted to ask you. I'll get your answer first.
No. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Keston Hira. Yeah. And look, that might be controversial at this point, because if there is one guy that looks lost, that is off to a terrible start, it is Keston Hira. And some people called this too, that they didn't think that Keston Hira, it was going to be a dude going into this year after struggling a little bit last year, and he has looked absolutely lost. I'm sure playing first instead of second has kind of messed with him a little bit as far as the bat goes. You know, the classic tale of taking your bat or taking your glove with you in the batter's box kind of a deal. But he does look miserable, but I think he can get it turned back on. So I think in that one, I think Ty France is reaching a little bit too far down the tree.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kept Hira. I said, stick through it till April. If he's really lost, then figure it out. But the ceiling for Hira is so high when he gets it going. So just hope he can figure it out.
And I think that should be the basic, like a top 10 pick a month. you know, you should give him a month before you cut bait, before you trade away, before you do anything drastic with those guys. Bench him while they're cold, you know, and don't play them, especially if you're in a weekly league. I totally get that, but I'm not cutting bait or trading yet. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Take it easy, everybody.